Today is March 20th, 2019. This is episode number 506 of the Apple Context Machine. That is a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO, and still wearing that game face to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM, and if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you could drop us a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you over to our Facebook group, where we can then complain about Facebook. Kind of one of the things we do here, ironically speaking. Now, I am joined on this rainy Bay Area day, and it is lovely to be able to say that, by a photographer extraordinaire and bearded wunderkind, Andrew Orr, who, as we speak, and at least this is my understanding, is coming to us direct from high atop Mount Kilimanjaro. Do I have that right, Andrew?
Close enough.
All right. Excellent. How's the weather up there?
It's been pretty nice, actually. I took a walk yesterday, and it was 40 degrees, which is warm now.
On Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yes.
I see.
Global warming.
That's good. That's good. Well, I think, I don't know how cold Mount Kilimanjaro is. I don't know. I'm not an expert in Mount Kilimanjaro. You'll have to give us a full report on your experience there.
I will.
Okay. We're off to a ridiculous start. I think that would actually be qualified as fiction rather than an editorial. But hey, that's beside the point. We're going to start off talking about Google Stadia. But we have an Apple tie-in here. But first, so Google Stadia was announced yesterday, and you're actually going to be writing that up for. Well, by the time anyone hears this, you will have written this up already. So, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey here. But you haven't actually written it yet.
No, but I will.
But you will, right? So, do you know enough yet to tell us about it, or do I need to start making stuff up?
I think I have a grasp on what it's about.
Okay, lay it on us.
So basically, I haven't seen Google's official announcement, but Stadia is Google's cloud gaming platform, and what that means is, on supported devices, you'll be able to stream games directly to your device. You won't have to download anything. It will be at launch, I think they said it will support 4K at 60 FPS. And then eventually they want to get up to 8K and 120 frames per second. And Google says it's more powerful than PS4 and Xbox One combined.
Well, it should be. So they're doing all the rendering remotely. Yeah, that's what they're doing. So like they're running the game, they're rendering it remotely, and they're essentially just sending you the images from what you have, what you're doing in the game.
Yeah,
that's how they're doing it, and it's designed to basically be able to be used on just about any platform, any device. You're not going to have hardware requirements. You're not going to have specific hardware. There's no console involved, they specifically noted. And this has been a holy grail for game publishing for a while, and for a variety of reasons, too. For one thing, the game publisher controls the hardware. The only thing they don't have control over is really your input device and the specifics of your display. But those are much less. It's a lot easier to just say that a game controller has to conform to these specs to be able to be recognized by our system, and then just to let the device handle the resolution itself. What they're controlling are essentially the GPU and the CPU. And by being able to control that stuff and knowing exactly what's going on, they have just a lot greater control, a lot less development hassle for their games.
Yeah.
So this has been this, and there are other companies that have been working on this, but it really seems like, at least based on their own announcement, that Google has just sort of, I mean, leapfrogged everybody and is probably positioned to do more with this kind of approach to gaming than any other company possibly could, with the, you know, maybe the exception of, you know, Microsoft, and maybe if Amazon was really interested in it, Amazon, because Amazon does have server capacity all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me wonder how long they've been working on this, because I know years ago there was this this other cloud gaming thing called, I think it was called Ouya.
Yeah, there's been a few of these.
Yeah, but I think it would take some, like a huge company like Google, to pull it off, because you need, you know, data centers to be able to run in all these games.
Well, that's at the very least, that's what Google wants you to think. That's one of the points that they made during their presentation, was basically we're better positioned to do this than anybody else on the planet. And that may or may not be true. It probably is true. There's at very least almost assuredly a kernel of truth to it. But but I'm, you know, Google also told us that doing maps was hard and that Apple shouldn't do maps. Right. So, you know, they have a little bit of vested interest into making us think that they're the only company that can do this. Now, I personally have always been very suspicious of game streaming, in part because latency, really. That's my concern there. It's because I have my movement now has to be sent to the remote server, which then processes what's happening and what I see, and then sends it back to me. I remain suspicious of that until proven otherwise.
Yeah. There's this other article I was reading from Motherboard saying that this is knocking up against the side of America's slow internet speeds, because we have slow speeds, high prices, and this is going to need something like 5G to make it work seamlessly, it seems like.
Yeah, if 5G can even do it, and we're years away from having 5G be a real thing. I don't even know how possible that is if you've got something like fiber. So, you know, yeah, I am not calling Google liars by any stretch of the imagination. I just remain suspicious of it. I remain suspicious of how good an experience it can be when I'm having to send things, when what I see is dependent not only on sending something, but getting something back too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you look at a game like World of Warcraft, you're sending a lot of information about what you're doing to their servers, and the servers are giving you information back, but they're letting the rendering happen on your local Mac or PC. And the same is true for most of the MMOs that I've played, if not all the MMOs that I've played, where, you know, your local device is handling the rendering, the server is essentially coordinating the information with multiple people, multiple people contributing to the action that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe they can do it. And they're also bragging about how, like, they're really designing this from a shareability standpoint, you know, and Google definitely gets sharing better than, say, a little company called Apple. yeah. So, like, you know, built right into the platform is the ability to stream, to share your game stream with other people, and even to have other people be able to join in with you. And even to be able to do save points where other people could then jump in from that save point.
Oh, nice.
You can paste styles, so it'd be real easy to make a game look like, you know, to skin a game That's one of the things. Let me find this bit.
Is that the style transfer?
That's the style transfer, yeah. Okay. And then let's see. Stream. I got to find this. Sausage. This is how we roll sometimes. jump. Let me see if we can't find the jump. So CrowdPlay will also be integrated into Stadia. This feature will let players watching a YouTube streamer jump right into a game with that streamer, which would personally annoy me, but I'm also not streaming my games and no one wants to see me play a game. So let's just be honest. Plus I'm older than perhaps that market is aimed at.
So you must be referring to above that called state sharing.
There's state sharing too. State sharing is where you can save a point and then other people could basically jump in right at that save point and play from there forward.
Okay.
But there's also, like, I could be streaming it live and then you could jump into the game with me.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, okay. Again, from my standpoint, get the crap out of my game, dude. If I wanted you in my game, I would have invited you in the first place. And to be fair, Andrew, I would love to play games with you. But, you know, yeah. I'm like streaming. But, you know, again, I'm not the target market. I'm not one of the people who somehow manages to make money by playing video games with people watching me.
Just have like the Mac Observer Twitch stream.
Yes. That's what we desperately need. It's the Mac Observer Twitch stream.
What kind of games do you play? Like what kind of console or computer games?
I don't. All right. Here. This is my confession to a young person. The console game controllers, I cannot do them. Did you see that? Did you see that Saturday Night Live episode with Fortnite where the parents are trying to play Fortnite?
I don't think so.
And they're just sort of like jumping up and down and, you know, running into walls and things like that. That is essentially me with a game controller. I have never, like, the various simplest ones, the very first Nintendo ones I did fine with, but like, you know, when Xbox and PS whatever, probably was starting with the PS2, really started getting the complicated game controllers, I just found myself less and less adept with them. Adept. And like Halo, I so wanted to play Halo, and I was so bad at it. I was so remarkably bad at Halo and just ended up, you know, not really getting involved with it. So the games I do play, I play Civilization, which I think I introduced you to that, right?
Well, I was playing it before you, but you...
No.
I think you...
No. Huh? You were not playing it before me. You might have been playing it before I introduced you to it.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I am OG Civilization. I played Civilization 1, sir.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just Civilization. There were no Roman numerals. It was just Civilization. Go ahead, please. You were saying?
I think the first Civilization game I played was, I think it was on the PlayStation 2 or 3. It was called Civilization Revolution, and that was really fun.
Yeah, I think that was Civilization 3, I think.
Okay.
I played Civilization on a 386 PC. So, like, you know, early 90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like going back a long time ago. But anyway, so I've played all of the Civilization games since. I really love that. I have spent more than my fair share of time playing World of Warcraft. Recently came back to that after many years away. I think in November I started playing World of Warcraft again. I've also played a couple of MMOs, including... a pay-to-play one, which I don't recommend for anyone. And And then I play Boggle with friends. Games like that. Does that answer your question? You asked me what I played.
Yes.
Yes. So what do you play?
Well, I asked because I bought a Nintendo Switch like 3-4 weeks ago now. Mm. And so I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart. Mm. And I got one of those Pokemon Let's Go games. I thought that was fun. Because it's basically a remastered version of that takes elements of some of the early games. Mm. So it's almost like nostalgia.
Sure, of course.
Mm. What I want next is I've heard good things about Diablo 3.
Yeah, it came out like 3 years ago. Two years ago.
And then there's this other game that looks cool. It's called Warframe.
I've not heard of that
so,
one.
Okay.
I played all the Diablo versions, including a lot of Diablo 3, but I haven't played in a couple of years.
Okay, nice.
Good times, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the question, like, if Google can actually do what they're saying they can do, it is going to radically change the gaming market.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it will definitely put a crimp. It could definitely put a crimp on the console market. Now they're talking about, you know, being able to do 4K, 4K streaming now, and then they want to be able to do 8K streaming in not too long, right?
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they mentioned a timeline for that, but
yeah, they also haven't announced pricing.
Right.
But, you know, when you're controlling the game and you don't have to worry about piracy and you don't have to worry about distribution, you can start charging less for games and make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not having to worry about the hardware that the game is sitting on, because you know what hardware the game is sitting on, you can start making more money because your development costs will be reduced, perhaps dramatically.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that this could radically ruin Sony's day and Microsoft's Xbox day too.
You know.
And possibly, depending on, well, I would imagine that Google would be happy to do whatever it takes to get Stadia on Apple hardware. For one thing, hardware is excellent. Apple's mobile hardware is excellent for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And, like for instance, when I was playing that pay-to-play MMO, there were a whole lot of people spending a whole lot of money on playing that game who were on Apple devices specifically because they were better than Android devices that they could get.
Oh.
Right, and they weren't Apple people, right? They weren't Apple fans. They were playing the game that gave them the best. They were playing the game on a device that gave them the best performance.
Oh, okay.
Right, and I would imagine that Google would want to do everything it could to get it to get Stadia on Apple screens, at the very least on mobile, possibly on Mac too, probably on Mac too. But you know, I say that, and you know, graphics performance will essentially be irrelevant because it's all being handled remotely.
Yeah,
it's good. This, if they can do what they say they're going to do, and I imagine they can, despite my suspicion, like, you know, despite the fact that I'm suspicious about the entire endeavor, I imagine they can actually do what they say that they can do. It's going to radically reshape the game publishing market.
And not only publishing, you mentioned something before I didn't even think of. You probably wouldn't be able to pirate these games, so that market would be over. Or at least, you know, they'd be able to pirate other games, but not these.
Right. And that's going to, you know, make a lot more developers want to be on this platform. Unless, of course, Google is just charging too much. Right. You know, so a lot of this will depend on what Google's charging and what kind of data Google's gathering. Like, you know, is Google doing this because they want to be able to better connect people to, you know, add to profiles based on, you know, who they're playing with, how much time they spend with people, the kind of games they play, what they say in those games, what they can overhear from the microphones. I mean, like, is that Google's aim here? Or is Google looking to generate revenues from licensing and charging publishers?
Yeah, that's something I wondered was, I hope that, like, inside these games, you wouldn't, like, you're walking your character across the terrain and suddenly you see a billboard with an actual real-life Google ad on it. I hope they don't do that.
I guarantee you that they will do that. Any kind of free-to-play game will be doing just that.
Yeah, I could see that in
we already have ads in free-to-play games.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote free-to-play games. Right? So I guarantee you that would be added to your, you know, your immersive first-world, first-person shooter game.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I think is cool is, it sounds like you can, like, besides being on as many devices as possible, you can also use any controller you want. They are selling their specific Stadia console, but it sounds like it's just optional.
That's the name of their controller, because it's not a console, which is...
Or, yeah.
What do they call it? Is it called the console?
No, I meant Stadia controller.
Yeah, it's called, okay, you're right. It's called the Stadia controller, right. Yeah, and I would imagine that, again, you know, a controller would have to simply meet certain specs and requirements for Stadia to support it. That's probably how they'll do that. There are lots of controllers already out there on the market. And this, you know, this controller, it looks like a controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing particularly awe-inspiring about it. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And here's the thing. As we were talking about this, you and I, before the show, and we were, you know, sort of like exploring the subject before we started recording. And I was thinking to myself, you know, Google's going to own gaming from this. And then I was thinking, you know, Apple fancies itself. Like, Apple has this weird dysfunctional relationship with gaming. On the Mac, Apple, like, every few years, Apple dabbles on making the Mac a great gaming platform. And then they quickly abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has been going on. This has been going on since before Steve Jobs came back to Apple. So, you know, this has been going on for a very, very long time. But on the mobile side, on the iPhone and iPad, Apple's always bragging about how it's the iPhone and iPad are like the biggest gaming devices on the planet, and that, you know, how many games are sold on the App Store, and services revenue is very important to Apple. Well, a lot of services revenue is coming from games and in-app purchases and the pay-to-play games.
Oh yeah.
Right. So, Apple seems to care about gaming on iOS, doesn't seem to care much about gaming on macOS. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Google's going to own this, and what's that going to do to the App Store? And then my head went to, wait a minute, there's AR. And like one of the things in the coverage that I've read on Google Stadia, the question was like whether or not VR was going to be added to it. And there wasn't much talk about AR. And I firmly believe that AR and gaming are going to be very, very important in the future.
I can see how VR would be a good gaming platform because it's immersive, but how would AR be good? Because it's just information overlaid on the physical world.
Yeah, things like did you ever play Portal? Is that what it's called?
I did not. I know what game it is, so.
Let me make sure I'm actually. Yeah, Portal is the one I'm thinking of. Well, there's another one too. There's a guess. Let me find it. It's a game where you control physical spaces.
Well, actually, I mean, I guess there was Pokemon Go. And then there's going to be a Harry Potter one, too. So yeah, that's two popular ones.
The Harry Potter one is going to be a very big deal. It's going to be a very big deal. And it's going to be a very big deal, especially if they will sell me a wand that will interact with the game.
Yes, that'd be nice.
That, right? Got to have that, man. I got to have that. I'm going to buy myself a freaking wand. I'm going to buy myself a freaking wand, and then I'm going to go around and I'm going to cast some freaking spells, man. Come on. That's cool. That's right. I want to do that. Do you want to do that?
I do.
Are you a fan of the Potter books?
Oh, yeah. I love Harry Potter. I'm just picturing, though, you like walking down the street, waving your wand through the air, and people are looking at you like you're some crazy dude.
Hell yeah. Well, except for, and it's funny you put it that way, because as I'm walking around waving my wand in the air, and no, that's not a euphemism, I'm also holding my freaking phone in front of my face like an idiot, because currently that's what AR means. It's holding your phone in front of your freaking face, and. That is idiotic. And
oh,
that
I agree.
Here's the thing I've been saying. I don't know if I've said it to you personally, Andrew. I've said it on this show. I've said it on TDO. I've said it on, Gene's show. I've said it in lots of different places. There is no way that Apple is investing so much in AR based on the assumption that we're all going to spend the rest of our lives walking around with our phones held up in front of our face.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the future that Apple is banking on. And they are banking on AR. They have put enormous resources into making AR Kit a thing and into making iOS the preeminent AR platform. Mm-hmm. And Google's doing stuff with AR too, but they're behind Apple. And they have a hardware disadvantage because Apple controls the hardware and the software. Okay, are you with me here?
Yep.
There is no way, like when one of the reasons that Apple developed Apple Watch was to free us from the tyranny of burying our faces in our phones. There's no way that Apple said, you know what we should do is we should come up with something where everybody walks around with the phones held out in front of their face. You know, and when I've talked about this live with people, as opposed to just on like a recording, like a audio recording like this, I've held my phone in front of my face and I've walked around with it to demonstrate how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
And it's not only, and I don't mean ridiculous from the standpoint of like, I look goofy. I'm not even worried about that. I'm saying it's a terrible way to experience life, by looking at your phone. It's like when I go to a concert or I see footage of a concert and there's people in the audience and they're watching the concert to their freaking phone. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? The live music is right there. Experience it. Like, fine, I get that you want to record it, but don't experience it through your own recording as it's happening. That's crazy. Yeah. That is a poor life choice in my not at all humble opinion. Not at all humble opinion. That is a poor choice. That is a poor choice on how to experience life by looking at life through your phone. Doesn't make any sense. And there's no way that that's the future that Apple has planned for us.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I think Apple will release AR glasses just based on the fact of how much they're hyping up AR.
Yeah.
And I think it on our iPhones is a great way to get people used to it, because that's different than what Google did with Google Glass. They just dumped it on us, whereas Apple is getting us used to the idea.
Yeah, well, and also not injure, and this will kind of tie into our last topic, but also without intending it to be a spying device.
Yeah.
And when you want your developers to fully take advantage of AR, to your point, this is the way to do it. You start us off on the technology that we've got. You get people doing it, then you introduce the glasses, and it's a pretty easy transition. So mm-hmm. Then I can walk around with my glasses on, waving my wand and looking like a crazy man. And guess what?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because now when I cast my spell and I see it in my glasses, it's freaking real. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I want that. But Harry Potter is just one world. There's lots of other gaming that could be done with, like, you know, for instance, when Apple has demonstrated like a world on a, like a tabletop at the keynote events.
Oh yeah.
Right. You have all the people that are playing it standing around that table, again, holding their phone in front of their face.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can do the same thing with glasses, and it becomes much more open. And it also, like, now you can start, what were John Keat and I talking about? We were talking about, like, John wants to be able to pin things to his home. Right. So that, you know, when, like, you know, he can pin a fake display, a virtual display with AR to different spots in his home. And rather than having a TV, you have a virtual TV that's pinned, so that when you're sitting on your couch, the TV is only where the TV should be. It's not following your vision everywhere you go, just like a real TV. It sits there.
I think that'd be great.
It would be great. But now we can do, like, there's this one game, and I can't remember what it's called. Buddy of mine played it. It's not Portal. Gosh, I can't remember what it's called, but you would own, like, there were two factions, I think, or maybe there were multiple factions. I don't even know. And you would control different spots around the city by being there and doing things in the game.
I know what that is.
Do tell, please.
I think that was Google's game, wasn't it?
It wouldn't surprise me. He was a former Google engineer and a big Google Android fanboy.
Okay.
Actually,
that was really popular.
It was very popular, and it was a cool game. And you could do stuff like that with AR a lot better. You can do a lot of LARPing stuff with AR, right? D&D. Why wouldn't you do D&D with AR?
Oh yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah. Like, now, instead of waving my wand around, I can swing my sword. And I can connect with stuff. Except for, you know, wouldn't be physically there to actually react against. Whatever. I'll throw a wand at him. I don't, you know, more wands. Gimme.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of gaming stuff that can be done with AR, and I think, and I could be wrong, that you want that stuff being processed locally, not remotely.
Yeah, I think it would have to be remotely if it was AR.
Remotely or why?
Yeah, well, I don't think the device like Apple Glasses would be like have powerful enough hardware to.
Oh, no. Yeah, all right. So you should listen to my show more often. iPhone will be handling all the heavy processing for glasses.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot.
And
yeah, it would be an accessory to the phone like the watches.
Correct. Yeah, and that's some voodoo right there, because now it's not just now the phone is processing information to be displayed not on its own screen as seen through its own camera, but on a different screen a few feet away on your face, seen through the camera that's on your face.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look up the name of that app because it's bugging me.
Yeah, it's bugging me too. I mean, to be fair,
but I mean, I'm besides fully, AR,
let me crack my joke. To be fair, I'm fully used to not having researched the thing I'm talking about on the show, but it still bugs me, and I can't remember what it's called. Go ahead.
Yeah. Besides AR. Another area that I've heard gaming associated with is Apple TV.
For AR?
Is Apple TV? No, just with Apple TV as a gaming console. Because I wrote about this, I think it was last year, there was some patents about an Apple TV gaming concept along with Apple's rumored cloud gaming service that they were supposedly working on. Because I think there are already games on the Apple TV. It just doesn't have a controller. Besides the Siri one.
Jesus. Apple's remote. You can use third-party controllers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Apple would have to essentially pull its corporate head out of its corporate butt to make gaming on Apple TV what it could and should be. Yeah. And I don't see that happening. The only place they seem to grok gaming is on iOS, and even that seems to be more circumstantial and convenient. Like, oh, huh. Man, people are making games for this thing. Who knew? I guess we could give them some tools. I mean, there are plenty of hooks for developers to tap into, and that's certainly the case with AR. With AR kit. So I contacted my buddy here, and he said it was called Ingress.
Ingress, yes. I was like typing AR game I and trying to see if it would autocomplete.
I'm telling him what we're doing here.
Because I think I tried playing that game, but I didn't know anyone else that was playing it. So.
Yeah, he played it a lot, and I always thought it was super cool.
Another thing I think is weird, speaking of Apple and gaming, why do you think they removed Game Center?
Who knows, man? I mean, a better question is, why did they introduce Game Center and then do nothing with it? That's a better question.
Right.
And it's still kind of there. Just, you know, without the functionality. Like, you can log into stuff with Game Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, no leaderboards, no connection, no social. I mean, like, Apple has always done social so poorly. And a big part of Game Center was supposed to be, you know, a foray into social networking, sort of social sharing at the very least. Yeah. And you know, why why? I mean, it was a cool service when it was introduced, and then they just didn't do anything with it. I don't even know.
Yeah, I thought I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. Now I did just I was able to. They called it binding an account. So rather than logging in with Facebook, I did not have the option to create an account with just my email, which is my preferred way of ever creating an account, period. But what I had the option of Facebook, which I never, ever, ever, ever do, or binding the account with Game Center, which I did do. So yeah. That was cool. And then, so, you know, and so I guess that's a thing that one can still do with Game Center. But, you know, it's interesting that you asked why did they do away with it. They didn't actually do away with it. They just mostly did away with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a Game Center, like, button and settings. But when you tap on it, it's just a blank page.
Is it really a blank page?
Yeah.
I'm looking right now.
Oh, no, I guess it's not. But still, it's... You can't really do anything.
Where? Oh, there it is. Game Center. Game Center. I can turn it on or off. I can invite nearby players. I have 12 friends. How do I have 12 friends?
I have 15 friends, and I don't remember any of them.
Well, I remember all these people. So, but I guess that it was from back when you could do things like friends.
Yeah. Remove all.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So what's my point here? We got to this by me pointing out that, like, my sort of knee-jerk thought was like, oh my goodness, you know, Apple's been caught flat-footed, and Apple really should have thought of doing something like this. This is going to put a hurt on Apple's games. And the reality is that there's still plenty of room for local gaming. And I think an investment in AR is part of that.
Yeah.
It's part of that. Now, it's possible that a whole lot of App Store gaming could be replaced with Google Stadia gaming, whether or not it's available through the App Store. And that is very possible. Like, you know, a lot of things like that are using the Unreal Engine and things like that, the Unity Engine, a lot of those things could really move to Stadia. But I think that there's still plenty of room to be, plenty of room for things to be done with iOS on iOS devices. And that this is probably not a huge, this is probably much more of a threat to console gaming than it is to Apple's App Store stuff.
Yeah. I'm wondering how that would work. Like, there might just be a Stadia app and you would buy games through there. Like on your iPhone or iPad.
Can you say that again?
I'm wondering how you would play these games on an iPhone or iPad. Like, maybe there would be a Stadia app, and
I think that would be the case. And the question is whether or not, is that a Stadia webpage? Because it could be. Or is it a Stadia app that's available through the App Store? Or is it that I download, you know, Game X, and all it is a Stadia portal?
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. And I think all of those methods would probably work. Like, if I were Google, I would want to have a Stadia app where I could quickly get to a bunch of different Stadia games.
Yeah.
If I were a game publisher, I would probably want to be able to control my branding somewhat. And I'd want to be able to have my GameX app that I pay for and download, even though it's actually doing everything via the Stadia engine. And to that effect, I assume that Apple would work with Google in allowing Stadia as long as it was meeting Apple's privacy guidelines.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, I'm sure they would. Apple taking, you know, its 30% cut from every game, so Apple would still be making plenty of money.
Yeah. Possibly even more as the stuff got even better. Right?
Interesting.
Yeah. Right, meaning that Apple could possibly make even more money if game quality improved and therefore more people played more games.
Mm-hmm.
That remains
and
to be seen.
And they could still say iOS is the most popular gaming platform in the world.
This could change that, you know, though. This could bring a lot more quality games to some hardware that's drastically inferior to iOS hardware. There's a lot of crappy Android devices out there that could run these games.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder how that would work.
Yeah.
Like having a controller. I wonder if you could use that Stadia controller with your iPhone or another phone.
Yeah, Bluetooth. Sure you could. Huh. Sure you could. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I mean, it'd be tiny. Because you need enough room in front of you to actually work the controller, which means that your smartphone is further out than when you're holding the smartphone in your hands.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There are all kinds of people that like watching movies and TV shows on smartphones, and I'm not one of them. So clearly I'm not the target market.
So the question is, would you play these games or at least try it out? Even though it's Google.
Yeah, I'm not going to not do it because it's Google. If there was a game I wanted to play and it was on Stadia, I would do it. The question is whether or not the kind of games I want to play are going to be on Stadia.
Right.
That remains.
I mean, I'm like where I am right now. Sometimes our Wi-Fi is kind of slow, so I probably wouldn't be able to play 4K games.
Yeah. Right. Right, that is certainly an issue, and that's a lot of people. You made this point earlier when we were talking. There's all kinds of places in the United States that don't have good bandwidth.
Yeah,
but you know, do you need it to be 4K to be enjoyable?
No, and that was another thing I'm wondering. They just mentioned 4K and 8K. They didn't mention like below that for slower devices or networks.
I think we can take that as a given.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. All right, well, let's move on to the other topic, which does kind of relate to this, and that's privacy. So you wrote a link teaser to, I think it was Fast Company, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, tell me about this article.
Yeah, so this guy, Mark Sullivan, he's doing this series called The Privacy Divide on different kinds of subjects. And this one, he just writes how, contrary to how the news is going with companies like Google and Facebook, he says he would be comfortable giving companies even more of his data as long as he would get something out of it. Instead of them just using it for advertising, like personalized services, he talks about biometrics, smart speakers. Maybe this could improve Siri and the health app if Apple did this too, while ensuring our data was still private and protected.
Okay. And so he's essentially saying, take my data, please. Oh wait, oh, yeah. Oh, what? Darn it! What's the fry? Take my money. What's the fry?
Let's see.
Is it stupid? Take my money, stupid.
No.
Take my money.
Shut up and take my money.
Shut up and take. Yeah. So he says, thank you. Like, but I'm going to delete that so I don't look like quite as much of an idiot. But he's essentially saying, shut up and take my money. Shut up and take my data. Use it.
Yeah, there you go.
And use it for something.
And I mean, I don't know. I kind of agree. I mean, as much as I talk about privacy, I do, you know, turn on the toggles and settings to share analytics with Apple and developers. I just don't want my data to be used for advertising.
Well, okay, let me cut right to a point I wanted to triumphantly trot out later in the conversation. I'll just get right to it. The difference is if a company wants my data to do stuff for me versus doing stuff for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, fine, Facebook connects us to other people. And Facebook wants us to think that that's really important. Right? Facebook's wrong. Yeah. At least into the degree at which they think it's important, or worse, think that we think it should be important. But we are the afterthought.
Right.
More often, like Google, to me, doing stuff for me with my data is much less of an afterthought with Google. Now, Google's profile for me is still the raison d'etre for that data collection, mm-hmm. for that snooping, for that data gathering. It's still so that they can sell advertising, but at the same time, they're much more proactive in doing stuff for me with that same data than Facebook is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Google is like in the middle between Facebook and Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they do legitimately use user data to improve their services.
Absolutely. And to develop new services. The example that I've long used is Google Now. And I had a different friend who was an Android user, who was all about the Google Now. And he was all about the Google Now, saying, you know, he would go play poker. It's like 3 days a week after work. And Google mm-hmm. Now started, on those days, started popping up a, hey, traffic is heavier today. If you want to get to the poker room, you should leave now. Without him asking for it. That's useful, right?
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other example, and I know the longtime listeners have heard me use these examples before, but they bear trotting out again. The other example that he would use is when he had searched for a band, he heard a song. And so he went and did a Google search for that band. Six mm-hmm. months later, that band is coming to San Francisco. And Google Now says, hey, you searched for this band once. They're coming to play. Do you want tickets?
Oh, wow.
That's useful. It's extremely useful. Now, contrast this, and I've made this point before too, but again, bears repeating. Contrast this with Tim Cook specifically saying he doesn't think that Apple News needs to know what music we're listening to.
Apple News?
Yeah. Apple News doesn't need to know what music we're listening to. It's like, yeah, you do, so that you can give me news about my bands. Dude.
Oh, right.
Or so that you can do something like, so that proactive, Apple's proactive, which is a stupid name, but whatever, can say, hey, you listen to the church all the time. They're going to be playing. You want tickets?
Yeah.
Let alone the band I searched for 6 months ago. So like Tim was wrong when he said that. I understood the principle behind it. The principle behind it is that they don't need to be compiling data about us because it's none of their business. I get that principle. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the more Calendar knows about me, the more it can do. That's this guy's point over at Fast Company. The more Apple Maps knows about what I do, the better directions and information it can give me. One of his examples was how fast he walks. And he notes that Apple Maps basically uses a generic, this is how long it takes you to walk somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Right? But the thing is that his iPhone knows how fast he actually walks.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple Maps could take that data and give him exact walking times. If Apple let it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And Apple tells us that they're working on this, but they want to keep all this stuff local. And if they can do that, that's freaking terrific. But the reality is that though Apple says its commitment to privacy doesn't impede its ability to do stuff for us, the proof is not in the pudding. Google Now is way ahead of everything Apple's doing with Proactive. Way ahead.
Yeah, I know there's the Assistant app that Google has on the iPhone. I've never used it, but
I don't want to give Google the hooks into my life that it requires to make their services awesome.
Yeah.
I don't.
I remember I think this was in iOS 11. They showed off this feature on stage at the keynote where they did this with news, like to your point about Apple News and Apple Music knowing things, like sending information across each other. There was this thing where you could like be browsing in a website in Safari, and then the next time you showed or you open Apple News, Siri would suggest something similar to whatever you're searching. They use this in, like, the example they use was for traveling. Like, if you're looking up Iceland, and the next time you open Apple News, it would suggest that as a topic. And I have seen that a couple times. So that's a little proactive.
Yeah, but there's a lot more that Apple could do there. And to that end, I have long wished that Apple would do a search engine so that it could use that data to do stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this fellow...
Should they...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, should they make their own search engine or, like, yes, buy DuckDuckGo?
Whatever. They've got their own search engine. They've been working on their own search engine off in the back rooms for years. All they have to do is decide to roll it. Fine, they could buy DuckDuckGo. At this point, doing search, it's not necessary to reinvent the wheel to do search well.
Right.
But if that is the issue, yeah, Apple could buy DuckDuckGo. I just don't even think they need to do that. I think they could just roll their own search engine. They've been crawling the web for a long time. And I just wish they'd do it. I wish they'd do it from the standpoint of especially if they didn't do advertising on it, because it would suck Google's revenue. Just Google's revenue would vanish in a puff of WTF, and mm-hmm. and that would perversely please me in a Schadenfreude kind of way, and but also more particularly, there's information about me that can be gleaned from what I'm searching for, and I trust Apple with that data. To this guy's point. I don't trust Google with it. I don't trust Facebook with it. Well, actually, technically, I do trust Google with it in that I use Google search engine. I don't willingly trust Google with it. But I would trust Apple with it. Now, he also makes the point, though. He thinks that these listening devices that we're putting in our home, you know, Alexa, Google, Siri, HomePod, that that they should be, like, listening for all of the things. So, you know, so that they can hear me fall down and call an ambulance for me. I disagree with him there. I do not think the world will be a better place if corporate powers replace the government in terms of being Big Brother. That's not an improvement.
Oh, right.
But at the same time, I would trust Apple to do a lot of that listening, because if Apple tells me, especially if Apple tells me it's going to actually do the data keeping and the decision making local. And that's the thing Apple tells us that they're going to do.
You wouldn't even need the HomePod to listen, because your Apple Watch does that with that fall detection. So, boom, they already have it.
Well, his point was that listening devices and cameras inside your home are better than having it be done on local, like on your wrist. That was his that was his point. I disagree with that out of principle, but I understand what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And again, the issue to me comes down to, what is the purpose of that data gathering? Is that data, like, there's several ways to do it. Is the data gathering being done so that it can be profited from? And, oh yeah, we're going to do some stuff for you too. Is it, we're going to do it, we need to profit from it because that's what's going to pay for all these cool things we want to do for you? Mm-hmm. Or is it, we're going to do it, but we make our money elsewhere, and we're going to use that data so that we can make cool things for you? That last one is the version that I would like.
Yeah, that sounds like Apple.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not coincidental. And that's where I want to see it go.
Yeah, I think I would like that.
All right, here's the cool thing. We are over, and I just had a Gardner show up. Doesn't matter what time of day I try to record the show, Gardner shows up while I'm recording. Doesn't matter.
That's great.
It's funny. It's funny. All right, so with that thought in mind, Andrew, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great discussion.
Yeah, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. You can... wait, hold on. I think I'm supposed to... like, I've got this thing that I do. It's, you know, it's like I just never done the show before. So let me do this. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything that you want to comment on, if you want to add, if you want to question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Could join me at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you to the above mentioned Facebook. I'm fully aware of the irony. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom. It's recorded just for TMO. By the way, speaking of Boom, I saw Ricky Spiro last week. He's the one who recorded the bass you just heard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd ever put that together. So it was a delight to see Mr. Ricky. He was visiting from the East Coast. And cool. Yeah, he's a great guy. Anyway, Andrew, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep, and here we go. I'm gonna get the hang of this. Any episode now, I'm gonna figure out how to do it.